Welcome to JavaScript Jam Live. Yeah, live. We do this every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to everybody jumping in. Appreciate y'all coming. Lots of great things going on in the dev world here this week. Some big releases from some big things. yeah. Great. We'll get that more into that in a moment. Very soon here. Yeah, very soon. But yeah, I just want to say whether you're a beginner developer or a experienced, long life term, long, awesome, amazing developer, it doesn't matter. We want to hear from everybody. In fact, feel free to request to come up and we can chitty chat. You can ask questions. You can state facts, opinions, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Even heresies.
Heresies, I say. It doesn't matter. Come on up and we can talk about it, okay? We'll talk it out.
The more blasphemous, the better.
Totally. I mean, Twitter loves negativity, so. So
blasphemy could be positive.
I guess it could be. Blasphemy. Usually in a negative context, isn't it? I don't know. I guess it depends on what your opinion is.
Well, it could be
a
blasphemy against a ruling class that is unfit to rule.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Like Lighthouse, am I right?
Yeah, I think that's in the conversation today. That's blasphemy. All right. Well, if y'all are not subscribed to JavaScript Jam newsletter, go check it out. Go to javascriptjam.com and get on that because you know exactly what we're talking about. And if you're not under a rock somewhere, okay, well, no, that might be harsh. Sorry, y'all. And I tried to trigger some people here. Okay, I didn't even know. I must be the one under a rock. Anthony let me know through his amazing newsletter that Lighthouse get the upgrade, y'all. Oh, go to javascriptjam.com, subscribe. Anthony, what's up, dude?
Not much. Just getting married in a week, less than a week.
Yeah.
Actually.
What? How long has this been in the plans for? Like, what, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months? How long has it been now?
Over a year.
Over a year? Like, dang, bro. Has it been that long? Wow.
Yeah, so I think I proposed in July.
Yeah, I guess you
2022.
Did.
2022.
Oh, my goodness.
Give or take a month.
Dude, time flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, big claps. Woo-woo! Anthony's getting married, y'all. Yeah.
Nice. Self-applause.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it could have came from me, y'all. Okay.
But yeah, so that's exciting. Also, working on some demos for stuff at Edgio, so that's exciting. Don't
like
know
what?
How much I can actually speak about them, but
can
they involve functions that are in a place that some may call the edge. Edge functions.
Wow. That was
dot
so
dot
bad.
Dot. Yeah, but that's all I'll say right now. And if you are sniping on my GitHub, you would get much more information about this than I'm saying right now.
And then, anyway, super cool. That's exciting. So
yeah, no, it's great because this is something that, you know, as us being called Edgio, this is something we got to make sure we do right. And I think we got some interesting stuff cooking.
Yes, yes, yes. Exciting. So hopefully nobody's in Florida. Well, I don't know how bad it is. I didn't even look, honestly. I knew it was heading there. I didn't look recently into what the news was. But, like, is it bad? Or is it just, like, downgraded to the tropical storm? Or
let's see.
Yeah.
Anyway. The headlines I'm seeing don't look positive.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's not as bad as Hawaii. Let me put it that way.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, that'd be hard to compare.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway.
But, hoping everybody's okay there.
Yeah.
Stay safe, y'all. Yeah, so do you want to jump into the newsletter or?
Sure. I'd also encourage anyone in the audience. I mean, I'm just going to throw out some invites to And regulars.
the link is at the top there, y'all, by the way. If you want to
Yeah.
join us and
Yeah,
follow
so I can't
along.
say I like know a whole lot about this new Lighthouse version. I just saw that it was coming out and I thought it would be, worth highlighting because, it's a very important tool that tends to get used by most devs. And if you are someone who is using a tool frequently, then it can be hard to actually know when like new stuff gets added or when, because it's very, especially with a tool like this, it's very easy to fall into kind of like a pattern of like, okay, I'm gonna like build my site. Once I'm like about to ship it, I'll run Lighthouse on it real quick. Be like, oh, here's some obvious things. Here's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't really matter very much. And then like you kind of don't think about it too much and ship it. I think that's kind of how some people view a tool like Lighthouse. And I kind of like, I understand that because there's so many tools in the process of building like a thing that you hopefully have some sort of confidence that it's working correctly in other ways. But if you kind of treat it like a power tool, you can realize that this is like a very, very sophisticated hunk of software that does a whole lot of stuff for you. So some of the things to kind of like call out here, I thought the most interesting one they highlighted was big accessibility improvements. So they have what they're calling accessibility audits. Including ARIA loud role, ARIA dialog name, and ARIA text. So they seem to all have to do with ARIA. That's what I'm surmising from this. And they said the weightage of all audits has been reevaluated to align better with the respective ACTS rule impact levels. So this could be a lot of jargon if you're someone who doesn't know accessibility stuff, but ACTS is kind of the underlying accessibility tool that powers the accessibility audits in Lighthouse. So basically what they're saying is we are making sure that what you're getting is more closely aligned to what you would get if you just used ACTS proper, which is probably a good thing for them to outsource this because it's a very important part of auditing a website that is highly specific and requires very specific tooling. And people I know who are big into accessibility, like Ben Myers, he always, will say ACTS is like the first tool you gotta learn. So yeah, that's kind of like the big highlights on that, and then a whole bunch of other kind of little things. The most important one probably being interaction to next paint is moving from experimental to just regular, I guess. So this is something we've talked about in the past. It's a new Core Web Vital that is going to be more heavily weighted in terms of things like SEO ranking. So important to understand what that is and how it works. But yes, that's kind of like a big brain dump right there. Bro Nifty, what is up, my man?
Yo, yeah, it looks like in your write-up here, you're bringing up the Lighthouse stuff, which talks a lot about accessibility and also the Remix version too. I always struggle to recall the names, but who's the main guy over there over at Remix who was talking about React Aria versus the oh my God.
Chance possibly.
Not Chance. No, it's not KCD. Doesn't work there. It's not Michael. It's not Chance. But the other one, the like the main guy. I talked to him a lot too, and I just always forget his
Ryan
name. But
Florence.
Ryan, thank you. Yeah. So
Okay, yeah.
he was making some commentary about how good the React Aria is, accessibility is, and compared to Radix UI. And I just went to check because I haven't really used out of box components, whatever. I just kind of tool around and kind of make my own. But yeah, it is really nice. The React area is really nice. The accessibility on that is like really good. So I agree. I
Yeah,
think I agree.
React Aria is a tool that I've always heard about. I've never actually used it, but I think it is it now called React Spectrum or is this something different?
Yeah, it's I've always thought it was like React Aria, and the guy who does, I think the guy who works on Parcel or something. I'm probably totally getting it
No,
confused. Although,
I think you're right, yeah.
does he work? Okay, yeah. So that like super duper smart guy. Oh my gosh, I don't know if that's my
I think it is.
computer making noises there. I apologize. Maybe I'll just make a last point and just go on mute here. the accessibility factor of React Aria or whatever it is, the Adobe components.
Yeah, so it's under a project now called React Spectrum. It's still called React Aria. I'm linking it right now on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, if I understand it correctly, Spectrum's like the umbrella of a bunch of different things, including Aria.
Yeah, this is cool because I remember when React Aria was just like an open source library. So it seems like now it has legit like corporate backing, is what I'm surmising from this.
If I remember right, Aria came out of Adobe originally.
So it was kind of one of those things where you have like an open source kind of like Skunk's Work project, and then at a certain point, it probably got enough upkeep that they're like, "Hey, let's."
Yeah, it was their implementation of their design system, which I think that's what Spectrum is supposed to be, is like their umbrella design system.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, if I remember the history correctly.
So it looks like from the links here. Yeah. Have you used this, Jason?
I've used it a little bit just to play around with it. Nothing in production though.
So what does it do aside from like Aria stuff? I guess is my question.
Yeah. So I'm not an expert by any means, but it's just a bunch of hooks to give you that headless kind of design system. You know, if you're looking to build a design system, here's all the tools you would need to do all the boilerplate stuff that doesn't involve the actual design itself, right? So that whole theory around component libraries that don't actually give you a component library but let you build one, that's where they started from. And then now you have this whole library of hooks, essentially. Like, and I in terms of timeline, I think it was probably one of the earlier like hooked based component libraries, or headless component libraries. And of course, because it's Adobe and they need to support Aria and, you know, for government contracts and all that other good stuff, they had to make sure that they supported accessibility from the beginning, as opposed to bolting it on like some other component libraries. So yeah, I think that's kind of
that makes a lot of sense. Look at the initial commit here. It says May 3rd, 2016.
Yeah, so that's pretty early then.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was originally called Coral UI. React Compose using Cloud UI style guidelines from Coral UI. There's your deep cut for you right there.
And it started at Adobe from the looks of it?
Yeah, I went to the Adobe GitHub repo and went back to the first commit. Cool. Any other thoughts from people on Lighthouse and what they're coming out with? I thought it was interesting, they mentioned manual audits. They're like, manual audits are now automatically displayed once all automated audits are successfully passed. Despite scoring a perfect score in automated audits, it's emphasized that manual testing remains crucial. So I'm curious what exactly they mean by that, because to me, Lighthouse, by definition, is an automated test suite. So how do you use Lighthouse to run a manual audit? I guess I don't really understand what they're talking about there.
It looked like there is some new stuff going on. I thought they knocked out one of their core web vitals and they're like degrading one of them, saying like, actually, this isn't as important as we thought. We're going to either just like keep everything but that as the main ones, or like bring or like promote another one up from somewhere else. I thought I heard that somewhere, but that's just like totally hearsay. So I don't really know what I'm talking about. What are the manuals? You got first contentful and largest contentful paint. You've got like the first interaction time. I think the interaction time, they're doing something around the first interaction time. I'm not exactly sure, but layout shift, that's a big one. So you got the first and largest, and then the layout shift is like, that's the jank one. And then the interaction, like the delay for like hydration, the hydration tax one. I think they're doing something about the hydration tax one, but I could be totally off there. But anyway, the thread that Ryan was in, I think I'm on your website and it's giving me a clicking noise, which is really weird, but Ryan and Ross and Kent C. Dodds and Devin, who created Parcel. Yeah, they were all talking about this, and we're talking about Shad CN. Shad has really, really great sense of style. He uses Tailwind, and like, honestly, I'm not really a style guru, and like sometimes Tailwind can be a little confusing, like just generally. So like, I would rather defer to him. But what Ryan was saying was that, like, he doesn't like the he doesn't like the underlying Radix accessibility story there. He's not as good as like Adobe Aria. So I suggested to Shad, said, refactor your styles, put your styles into on top of Adobe React Aria instead. He liked my comment, so we'll see. Maybe that would be kind of a neat that would be kind of a cool story to see if that came out. But yeah, that's all I had there.
Or Carol, got your hand up. What's up? You want to introduce yourself also?
Hello. Yeah, my name is Carol, and I'm learning development while working as operations analyst. I have a really beginner question. I hope you don't mind.
No, absolutely not.
Great. So I have deployed the website to Vercel yesterday. It's a simple thing, but since you are talking about the Lighthouse and all that stuff, and one thing that you just were talking about is the layout shift. I wonder, I'm not sure what is it. So the website that I've deployed have a SVG animation, and it's just SVG animation and the newsletter form. So I'm wondering if the website is loading and the first form is shown, and then after a few milliseconds, maybe the animation is showing. Does it count as a layout shift? If you like to have a look, it's last tweet. I've posted the link to the website. If you would like to have a look and tell me if this is the layout shift or if I don't understand this.
The layout shift is when it is a different display on different like size screens. So if it's like responsive and like you change it from like mobile into like medium size to like large size or whatever, like based on the pixels, and it like shifts around your layout, your content is shifting around. That's what it is. It's not whether like your animation is animating or not.
All right. I need to read about it more probably. Thank you.
Did you say you had a tweet about this? I'm looking at your timeline right now. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. I could pin it though to the top.
I will pin it then. If you want to have a look.
Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah. Always like to bring the hive mind into problem solving like this. Yeah, I know with cumulative layout shift, that could be a tricky one because it will kind of depend on maybe like when you're loading something. So if like you're loading something too late, you'll render the page before you have the assets you need. And then once that shows up, then it all of a sudden shifts everything on the page. So some ways to avoid that can be like setting explicit width and height either through CSS or on your components or something, so that even if you don't have an asset at the time it arrives, it's already taking up the amount of space it needs to. So I have no idea if that has anything to do with your issue, but that's just like one tip I know about cumulative layout shift. So yeah.
Yeah, so basically the animation is a client component and the form is a form is as well client component. But this animation is loading slower, and it looks for me like, you know, it looks like layout is shifting because one thing is shown first and then the other thing. I was thinking that this is it.
Yeah, so then maybe try and isolate like where is that animation being shown? Is that contained in something that the dimensions are already set so that even if it hasn't fully loaded yet, it will still take up the amount of space it needs to take up, just kind of as like a blank image, I guess.
All right, thanks. I will definitely read about this more as well.
Yeah, I'll pin just like a couple links to the top as well. This is one of those things I highly recommend anytime you have an issue related to like Core Web Vitals or these types of things. There's always good resources on web.dev. That's the first place I go to try and like parse any of these weird Core Web Vitals things.
You know, one more thing. When I'm looking in the Vercel analytics over there, you know, my score is showing that it's good, so probably it's all right. Yeah,
typically like that's like a good first pass. There's ways in which you can get good scores, but things are still kind of janky in ways they can't detect, but those tend to be like weird edge case kind of stuff. So if you're just like running your own personal site and you're getting all hundreds, that's usually a good sign. I would just recommend checking in on, like, because that might be just running on, like, your home page. So it's like, if you're to click into, like, more deeply nested pages, are you still getting hundreds, or are you getting, like, different scores?
I will do that while I have some pages other than the first header.
Oh, yeah. Anthony was right. I was wrong. I said responsive. It is related to responsive, but it's more related to having a placeholder. So if, like, if your animation comes in, it's not related to whether it's, like, starting or not, it's whether there's a placeholder or not. So whether, like, if something is, if you're, like, have a, if you're lazy loading something and it, like, comes in later or whatever, then does it push the whole page down when it pops in, or did you make a blank space that's the exact same dimensions, whether it's there or not? So yeah, it's related, but not exactly. So yeah, anyways.
Yeah, thank you. I'm linking the explanation for cumulative layout shift and then how to optimize cumulative layout shift. These are fun terms we learn because of Lighthouse. All comes back to Lighthouse. Yeah, does anyone have thoughts on that, or do we want to kind of shift into the Remix V2 discussion? And Scott, you can go ahead and give us a station break while we're at it. Oh, looks like we got two people coming up.
I did have one comment on the Aria stuff. I had to step away for a minute.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
The one thing I noticed when trying to use it with Next and probably with frameworks like Remix is it was harder to use with server rendering because it has things like it relies heavily on context and whatnot. So you do end up wrapping. Anyway, there were some unnecessary, well, wrappers that, you know, things like, you know, like what ShadCN doesn't have to deal with. And it was more built from the ground up to be, you know, work with newer frameworks like Next or server rendered frameworks like Next and hopefully Remix. So I think that might make it adoption harder unless Aria fixed those problems or changed their strategy to better support Next and things, then that would just be something to keep in mind. So it's probably
okay.
Given its age, yeah, it was probably meant for a Create React app type app where it's all client side rendering.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was some of the stuff. Cool. That was some of the things I had to work around when playing with it with a Next based app. Anyway, just thought I'd close off that thought process.
Yeah, thank you. Brad and Fuzzy, what's up, guys?
Waka waka waka.
Hey guys.
Do either of you have thoughts for the current topic you wanna weigh in on?
Yes, I'm walking away here, but can't talk much, but I'm listening. Hope everybody's doing well. I've not caught one of these for a while now. It was on the topic of the layout shift stuff. I must say I didn't hear entirely the original question from Carol, but to add on to that, a common example of it, which I think is what you were given, Bro Nifty, but is like a top bar on an e-commerce site. Because I've seen this a lot on recent projects where you have like the, you know, maybe an offer discount thing, right? We've got like the discount code, and it only loads for certain users, something like this. That's like the top layout shift thing of e-commerce sites where, you know, the site loads and then it drops down 40 pixels because it loads this banner in, and the solution to that is server-side rendering. There's sort of ways you can hack it on the front end, but the perfect solution is server-side rendering, as I found.
Yeah, I feel like mobile especially, like I get this all the time when I go to websites. It's absolutely maddening.
Definitely. It's when you like go to tap a button and then by the time you're tapping it, it's moved down and you tap something else. That's like one of the key examples that I know. It's on like the web.dev or something. But yeah, I don't know if this is helpful at all to the original thing, but I heard and I was like, I'm going to give my 2 cents. But yeah, and just say hey. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Word. Good to have you, Brad. Word. What's up, Fuzzy Bear?
Sup, Trips. How are we all?
Doing good. Doing even better now. You're here, my man.
Yeah, oh dude, literally, this is honestly, man, you wouldn't believe the kind of day that I'm having, right? But I'm kind of in between my dinner getting ready, And I've seen these guys on, and I was thinking, well, sorry, you're going to be talking about Astra at some point. Somebody needs to represent.
What's the Astra 3.0 news? I was just watching a stream with James Q, Quick, and Ben talking about it, actually. And we're building JavaScript Jam, hey, on Astra right now. So
yeah,
it's directly relevant to our enterprise, yes.
Oh, dude, right. So improvements under the hood, right? Predominantly V3 is the maturity one, right? This is, I love the fact that we're at V3, like legit. Project's 2 years old. We're on a third stable version release. You know, it's been battle tested. There's been what? I think they were on release candidate 7 or 11, one of the two, right? And the numbers in between. But yeah, so it's like, you know, it's been tested, right? Before it's been put out into major release. So it's like the Vue Transitions API, oh my god. Oh my god. Like, this is legit.
That's gonna be a big one. I'm excited for that just because I've heard about Vue Transitions so much. This is the first framework I've seen that's basically like, here, hit your config, and then it just like, it's on. I don't know, Nux, I think it's the other one.
You don't need it in the config either. You don't need it in the config either, bro, right? Because this is the thing, right? So it's like, Astro does this thing where we put it in the experimentals, like on flag in the config, right? Well, things, you know, we're testing things in development for a while, and it feels like that feature's been there for forever. And that's where, what we, you know, the project likes is like when the feature set has been there for that long, where it's already ingrained in the code base, all you need to do is just delete the flag from the config, but your implemented code of that feature set is already there, if you get me. And we just graduate it out from experimental into the major code base. There is one big breaking change, I would say, for those of us who are using Astro, right? The Astro image component has been super overhauled. Is no longer, the imports need to be updated, basically, is what I'm trying to say. All that is in the blog.
You're going to the experimental or the assets folder now.
Yeah, it's gone into the assets folder.
Yeah.
Which I have been crying about ever since like version 0.2.2, right? It's finally here. Like legit, it's like there's so many good things. And there's another one thing, right? Another treat, right? That these guys probably won't notice unless they run previous versions of Astro, right? And just ran the build times just to see the difference. But this one here is significantly faster, right, than the previous versions of Astro.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference in just build time or also like dev server startup time?
Both.
That's one thing I noticed. Like with my blog, I've got like, you know, maybe 100 pages, but even that, because they're like big, chunky markdown pages, and like I have a pretty big initial, like cold start every time I start my dev server. It's not like a huge deal, but something I always notice.
I know. I mean, the thing is, right? It's like that. So, in Astro land, right, because there's two sides of things with the Vite, right? It's like the dev server, there's the Vite land and Astro land, right? So in Astro land, Bjorn, Emma, what do you call it, and Nate and others in the core team, right, basically Erica, you know, you name them, the working like progressively reducing like refactoring the code base, right? They originally, there was a lot of things that were being done with like using async generators, right? Under the hood to basically like, you know, stringify everything, etc. But that's no longer the case. They've made a lot more things synchronous, you know, they've really have fixed things up a wee bit, and that has fixed it. So it's like, yeah, around, they're saying about 30% faster, but to be honest, I've noticed it like at least twice as fast.
Awesome. Aside from that, actually, so I just pinned this. This is very cool. You have a post on the Google developer, the Chrome developer blog, about just Astro Vue Transitions with a byline by Fred and Matt and Maxi and then Addy and Kara Erickson. So this is is legit. And this just dropped today.
For real, I haven't seen that. I mean, to be honest, right, it's like, Maxi was one of the first people to really was like in the community, like right behind the Vue Transition API as soon as it was like getting in.
I remember he did a semantics episode about it.
Exactly, yeah. And then, you know, it was like, And then, you know, it was just the fact that perhaps, you know, opportunity that he was using Astro, the core team and him kind of engaged. And yeah, the moment it landed, you know, the browsers were taking it seriously. That's when the project, you know, the core team decided to take it seriously and put it in there. Because in all honesty, that's the one thing, right? It's like we were saying that for a while. It was Vue Transitions API was always on the radar to see where it landed. We're happy where it's landed. We're happy how it's been implemented. And honestly, dude, it is like legit magic. It is the tits.
It is really nice. Yeah. It's really nice. Yeah. It was Addy who works on the Chrome team there and wrote the patterns. I think it's patterns.dev with Lydia and Ali.
Yep.
That book together. Yeah. So he's all up on the Chrome team and doing all that stuff. And then wrote the write up on Astro. So that's one thing about getting in early on some of these patterns and some of these features and some of these frameworks and different things, these libraries, is that you can get in the mix and like talk to people who are like doing very important things. It's just like, wow, just what a great way to really get it in there. Right. It's just amazing. This is great. So amazing.
Totally.
It reminded me because basically it looks like what they did, they implemented this sort of like, you know, in an iPhone app or whatever, like a mobile app, you can like do kind of like a slide and then it like goes to the next thing, sort of like a swiper.
A slide animation. So basically it's like that kind of comes with like a bit of CSS-ery, right? And just the way the Vue Transition API works is effectively taking a snapshot of your current and a snapshot of the new and throwing the two together. Right. And it's like holding the two, you know, snapshots in memory at the same moment in time. I mean, yeah, you get cool. Yes, that slide one is really cool. Personally speaking, I like the morph. I like morphing between things, man. It's so funky.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm so glad that the smart people got that implemented, because I was looking at something like that in the same guy who created React. Also works on Rescript, and that's sort of like some weird like functional programming that has something to do. I don't remember the guy's name, but somebody who
Jordan Walk.
Yeah, Jordan. Mm-hmm. So somebody who
works. My question is,
sorry guys, I need to go. I'm getting a phone wipes. Call.
All right, but all right, cool. Well, I'll ask you about Star Wipes later. All right. You're talking about Rescript. What's the tangent there?
The tangent is that they had implemented this in Rescript, and I was trying to follow it, and I was like, "Oh man, I'd love to have this work it was just a regular HTML, CSS, and like Midjourney photographs, a bunch of photographs from Midjourney, just HTML and CSS, just vanilla. It was Rescript, not like JavaScript. It was Rescript, and they were doing this animation, this transition, whatever this is called. We're talking about right now this transitions API.
Vue transitions.
Exactly, the Vue transitions, but in Rescript. And I was like, oh man, but I can't follow that code. Like I'm not smart enough. But it looks like they used that. And then put it into Chrome is what I understand, right? Now Astro has implemented it. I haven't actually used it direct. I haven't used it direct from Chrome or whatever. I haven't actually implemented this at all. But yeah, I did see this a while ago, and it did overlap with the similar thing that's with the mobile transitions. Like
very oh yeah, no, there is definitely it feels like, you know, from the browser side of things, that they're looking to bring in. Merge the browser with more of a feature set from the mobile, like, you know, world, like, so that way it's like we can make, you know, make the web properly cross-platform, so that way we have the APIs for the mobile that it happens on. You know, just a lot of work to it, but gentlemen, talk about a lot of work. I need to run. It's been so short.
Oh, good, man, thanks for joining. Great to chat.
Love you guys, right? Peace and love, and keep well, right?
See you, buddy. Scott, what's up, my man?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Thanks if you can understand what I'm saying. Thanks so much for joining.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Appreciate y'all. We do this every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. be sure to follow us if you're not already. That way you can be notified, let you know when we're going live, you know. And you know what? Also check out our newsletter, JavaScriptGM.com. Sign up right there. It's free. There's some value there for you though. Talk about all the latest and greatest in tech, web dev, JavaScript, obviously, and more. And Anthony's the one who writes that up every week, put some time into it. So yeah, give it a good read. That's typically what
read mix.
Read mix. Typically, that's what we're talking about, you know, when it comes to Wednesday. So, and we have some fun guests that join us occasionally as well. So, and not just that, just fun people who hop in, like Fuzzy and our regulars, Bro Nifty, Jason, Brad, many, many folks. So, yeah, good time.
Good thanks times.
For, yeah, thanks for joining us today, Carol. Appreciate that. And it doesn't matter whether you're a beginner or whether you're an advanced developer, we love to hear from everybody. So be sure to request to come up, ask questions, state facts, comments. Doesn't matter. We want to hear everything. Yep, yep, yep. So exciting stuff here with Lighthouse, Remix, Astro Build. Like I said, there's some big things that have happened over the last couple of weeks here, even just really this week. So it's been pretty cool to see all this tech making strides. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always something moving forward. What's fun about having so many different frameworks, so many different teams and people working on stuff. I've not been without a headline since I started.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be hard pressed not to. Sure.
And people are talking about how like nothing happened in August, and there's kind of some truth to that, but at the same time it's like even if you look for like minor releases, there's big stuff happening, and even some major releases or, you know, release candidates for major releases like Remix Volume 2 Version 2.
Right, yeah, exactly. And you know, it's so funny, like here's another one like we didn't even include in here, which is OpenAI's Enterprise, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like that's the type of thing though. What do you, did they have a pricing for it, or were you just joking when you said it was gonna be like 10 grand?
I was kidding. Yeah. You have to contact sales to even get a number.
That's how you know it's real enterprise. A real that's enterprise, you know, solution would never tell you the price.
That's how you know it's gonna be expensive.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, I missed the product. What was it?
We don't
ChatGPT Enterprise. Oh, AO.
Unlimited access, folks. Unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah, I would not make good use of that access on account of the enterprise. I would just keep asking us stupid stuff about philosophy and things.
For 10 grand a month.
The guy who does the AWS... he focuses on the cost for AWS. He has some consulting organization. He had a funny take. I don't have it pulled up, but it was about the
enterprise. About Corey Quinn.
Yeah, that dude's funny.
What's his take?
Oh my god, I don't have it offhand. Like I can't do it justice. But he was basically saying like, oh yeah, enterprise. Let me guess. What's the enterprise offering for ChatGPT? Like they put it in a cargo shipping container kind of thing, and like dump it on the thing and let you self host it or whatever. It was just something.
You just run ChatGPT and Docker basically. I could totally see that.
Hilarious.
Nice. Yeah, I'll go ahead and there it is. I already got up there. So yeah, check that out if you're curious about enterprise ChatGPT, and you know, you just can't get enough ChatGPT in your life.
You just can't hold back if you really want to support them.
Him and Dax don't have the best AWS takes. They're just constantly ragging on AWS. It's just funny. Like, no offense. I like AWS, but it's just like they have really funny.
Well, it's funny because like Dax's entire company is by definition built on AWS. It's like he built a tool that like could have been called AWS Lock-In. And Corey is paid to give people advice on what to do about their AWS. So it's like every single piece of work they do is with AWS, and then they just trash it every day. It's pretty incredible.
Probably get all the, I mean, that's Twitter. I mean, it's like you have to have something to constantly throw bricks at. I mean, like if not, then you're not going to be anybody on Twitter. Sorry. Which is why, you know, I'm not, so.
Hey, you're getting up there. Before you know it, you'll have 1,000 followers.
Oh, joy. What's the engagement? 1 of 1,000. Yeah! Yeah, buddy. Well, thank you all so much. This has been so fun. It's been a great time thus far. Love the joke.
So does anyone actually care about Remix V2? Apparently it's got future flags, which means feature future flags, because they're like, we're gonna build this thing. It's not a thing yet, but it's gonna be a thing, so we're gonna make your code work like this thing exists, so that when the thing does exist, it won't break your code, which is actually, I gotta hand to them, a very smart idea.
Super smart.
Yeah, so the idea being that if you kept up with these future flags, when V2 drops, it will be you just upgrade your number and you won't need to actually change anything or make any modifications to your code, because you would have already made those in modification to the future flags that were in V1.x versions. That's at least the idea I'm getting from the blog posts. I don't have any Remix apps in production, so I can't say for sure, but that's the vibe I got.
Jeez, you should get on that. Start up a Shopify store.
Hey, bro. Yeah, I could sell.
Make a headless.
Remix Shopify templates.
Yes, make it headless.
One thing I will say about Remix, I was working with Quick, which is like probably the biggest main competitor there. And I like Quick a lot, but I feel like it's not quite as snappy, the responsiveness. It feels like a little buggy when you're doing mutations.
Which one, Quick or Remix?
Quick.
Remix is a lot newer, so makes sense.
Remix is golden. It has all the built-ins that Next.js needs. You have to do manually, and basically the people over, like the React core team, like basically copied the work of Ryan Florence, and like you've got Remix dialed in. It's been dialed in from the beginning, and like and Next is just now getting up to speed. And there's just a lot richer feature set, and it's more mature in Remix than Next, but that's my comparison. But yeah, to Quick, which would be, I think, the kind of standalone non-React. You can pull React into it just like you can with just like an Astro. You can it handles like standalone components and kind of like put them kind of compose them together. But just like the Quick City on its own, like it runs really well for like if you have like just, you know, to get really fast. But as far as like the mutation story, like it feels a little buggy to me.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, because being not having like React itself to build on, you gotta probably do a lot of heavy lifting just to get to even parity with that, let alone to then build a meta framework on top. So yeah, I'm still pulling for Quick. I think that it's just a cool idea. So I always like it when someone comes in and tries to like shake up the game, and I'll support them pretty much just for that reason, and because I like the team. But if I was like literally giving some advice on what to put into production, it would be a hard sell to sell someone on Quick today, just because, you know, Word is in its life cycle, and you know, I'm sure they would acknowledge that.
Yeah. I bought a bunch of courses from this. This company is using, it's used both Next and Quick, and they liked Quick better because they didn't have to deal with use effect, and it's like sort of the dependency management is like automatic in Quick.
That's funny.
I'm gonna check that out. But yeah, he that guy liked it better than Next. So he's just like, yeah, this is a lot less to maintain. It's like quicker to get through. And there are mutations in that too. It's a site for it's a SaaS app, which combines a bunch of different stuff. It's called Code Raiders. Not like I'm trying to sell. Like I'm not trying to like sell.
No, you're fine. Thing, yeah, no. Code Raiders, like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. So they got a bunch of they got Web3 and different apps. Got this back testing, like financial strategy back testing. So it's like, you know, like if you did this strategy, this is how it would have paid off, and like if you did this one, whatever. So it's got this whole thing. Did that Next.js?
Do they do it with crypto?
I think you just did a regular market stuff. You could have done it with crypto.
It's all the same. It's just numbers that go up and down at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, I think I have the right link for that. I'm posting that right now. Yeah. So many frameworks, so many things you can do with them. Is that the Code Raiders you were talking about? CodeRaiders.com.
They don't have, it's surprisingly enough, they don't have a, they don't
have
a
website.
No, they have a website. Yeah. They don't have a presence on, I haven't found them at like in terms of like their social media though. They just have like the website. I found them from a Google search. I was just like, I was searching for like, quick.
Are the courses good? Like, have you actually gone through them?
Yeah, they're good. Unfortunately, because, Quick is moving so fast and they have breaking changes, there are some broken codes because
I would not build a course around Quick. Like I would straight up say this is not like you should wait. Like I guess they hit 1.0, so I guess from that respect you could like within the last 3 months, if they had built it before that, like pre 1.0, that's probably where they would have got caught up.
Yeah, the main thing was that in the routing scheme, it used to be you could name a file anything, but now it has to be index.ts or index.tsx in a named route folder. So that's why it was breaking. Everything else is fine though.
Gotcha. Well, I'm looking at the courses right now and I see every single thing in the courses list is either GPT stuff or crypto stuff. So, I don't even see any front end stuff. So I'm not sure what courses you're even talking about, but these look interesting. ChatGPT AI voice chatbot build with React and Fast API combo. Built an auto GPT code writing AI tool with Rust and GPT-4.
Okay. Yeah. There's one that is just talks about Quick for a SaaS, and it kind of combines a bunch of different services. It fronts it with
I see. So there's the courses section, and then there's the code section. Yeah. So this is not a course, this is just code. It's only $15.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the so code doesn't like work out of the box though, but there's a YouTube
So this was created in January 2023. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was way pre.1.0.
Yeah, so the scheme is that you can walk through the YouTube course and it gives you all the stuff, but it doesn't give you the code. If you want to buy the code and run it, you can. Of course, it doesn't work though because it's it needs some. Yeah,
if you gotta like pay for a template, like the least you could ask that the thing actually runs. Right. Seems like a pretty baseline requirement.
It's good. I think the fundamentals are good though, but yeah, it doesn't like run as advertised though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we gave them a little bit of press. It sounds like they're trying their best. So I'll give them credit for even building a quick course at all. You know, that's a big lift, but that's cool. Yeah. I think that, you know, the more content, the better. Even if it's slightly broken content, that'd be better than just nothing, you know?
Yes.
Word. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Right, Scott?
Something. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep.
Okay. That's weird. It wasn't showing. I was talking. something interesting about Astro, you know, instead of localhost 3000, it's now localhost 4321.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's funny, because Redwood's always been 8, 9, 10. So having numbers in a certain order makes it easy to remember. Is again something that has been ripped off from Redwood.
But it's so funny though, because the 4321 lifts off, right? Like,
that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
Is that in Astro 3?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for them. We're going live tomorrow, right? We'll upgrade to Astro 3.
Yeah. We'll do it. Just so we get 4321 in there when we do some stuff. It should be fun. Although we're already technically, we don't need to localhost at this point because you've got something out there. But anyway.
Well, yeah, but when you're developing it, you're not just ship to production every time you want to do something change.
Why not?
I mean, with Edgio, nothing stopping you. Ship to production wherever you want. You got feature branches. You got side branches. You got all sorts of branches.
Branches. They're just not on Redwood branches.
Hey.
Oh, man. All right. Cool. Well, it's been fun, folks. Thanks for joining us. Always good conversation here on Wednesday. We'll be here next Wednesday. Well, actually, Anthony, I don't think you'll be here next Wednesday.
You'll be here. Okay. I'm taking off Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, right. Cool. All right. We'll see you next Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Be sure to bring your pants. What? Your pants? Yeah, your pants.
We don't need pants for Twitter Spaces. What are you talking about?
All right, y'all. Peace out. Woo!